You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good team?
All right, rolling along, Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle. Sorry, Maura. I owe you one. Don't worry. I owe you one. I got a question for all of you. But here's the thing. Your answer doesn't matter. Okay? That's the best kind of question, right? I can ask you a question. You can answer whatever you want. Your answer doesn't matter. There's only one person whose answer actually matters to this question. What do you want to see in the next seven games for the Seahawks? What do you want to see? Like, what can they accomplish? What can they do? In all likelihood, they're not going to make the playoffs, right? So let's take that part out of our mind. But you still got seven games to play with Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll. The future hangs in the balance. Like, there's a ton going on bubbling just under the surface. It's going to be a good conversation with Brock coming up at 7:45 today. I'm very interested to hear what G. Scott has to say as we talk to him at 8 o'clock, because he's always got a conspiracy theory or two kind of bubbling for him as well. But what do you want to see from the Seahawks in the next seven games? Answer that question and remember in the back of your mind, your answer doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The only person whose answer really matters is Jody Allen. Right?
Yeah, it's true.
It's just Jody Allen. We don't know anything about Jody Allen. So I'm trying to weave two things together here. So I'll come back to Jody Allen in a moment. Let's start with your answer. What do you want to see in the next seven games?
Can I say what I don't want to see?
Sure.
I don't want to see, like, the drama fracture split apart, the reality TV storyline bubbling.
Like Pete and Russ
won't
speak to each other.
Yeah, that's what I don't want. Or, and same thing on the defense. I don't want to see that side fall apart either.
Would it make it easier if that did happen? Would it make it easier to break up? If there's going to be a breakup of sorts, and I don't know that there is. Again, that's up to Jody Allen more than anybody else. But if there's going to be a breakup, would it be easier? Like,
if it was messy?
If your parents came home one day, all three of us have parents that stayed together, right? I mean, So what if one day your parents come home and like, we're getting a divorce? You're like, wait, what? Out of where? Out of what? What do you mean? Versus if you live in a home where your parents are constantly arguing and fighting, et cetera, I'm not saying anybody, like, divorce is great. But in some ways, it helps kind of clear the air, right? Everyone is happier.
Because you saw it coming? Is that what you're saying?
A, you saw it coming, but B, like, you know, there's a level of noise that can go away at that point. I don't know. Maybe I'm over my skis. I was not the child of a divorced parent, so maybe I should just shut up.
Was it easier with the LOB? Because, I mean,
yes.
With Sherman Earl, there was drama.
It was easier,
to see them go because things were...
Yes. And that's a much better example, one that I'm more familiar with, and I should offend fewer people because I actually know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah, like,
just eliminate the last minute of Mike talking. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I can't follow you down that path.
Yeah, just don't. Just, you know what? Leave me hung out to dry. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Yes, more of that. Thank you. Thank you for helping out today. That's a much better analogy. Wasn't it easier to say goodbye to Sherman Earl because by the time they left, you sort of hate them? Like, didn't that make it a little easier? Like, oh, you want to be here? Fine. You can't even play on my, you know, park anymore.
Right.
Get out of here.
Take my ball and go home.
Yes, yeah. It makes it a little bit easier. Don't you come on my property. This is my property. It ends right here. You go over there. I think it's much easier.
I don't because, yeah, but playing into those two personalities is different than Pete and Russ's personalities.
Maybe, but I guess all I'm saying is there is an element of, like, if you're going to have to say goodbye, let's make it easier. Let's start choosing sides and, like, you know, make this whole thing get kind of ugly. It probably won't. But I, like, wouldn't hate it if it did, because if there is going to be a divorce coming, maybe it's easier if you're already sort of prepared for it with some actual, some passive-aggressive battling.
Some flags.
Yeah, that may go
on. Well,
what
do you want to see in the next seven games?
I want to see them win as many games as possible, and I have a very specific reason for it, which is I don't want that pick that they've already given to the Jets to be a top five pick. If it ends up being like the 15 pick, you'd be like, yeah, that stinks. But if it ends up being like the number three pick, I mean, like, it's unconscionable, right?
Yeah.
If they end up giving up the, like, mid-tier 13, 15, you're like, man, that stinks. It would be really nice to have that kind of a good pick, and like, oh, well.
You said the same thing about them not signing Jamal Adams. It would be unconscionable. They went this
far with it. They had to do it.
Yeah.
They were pot committed, man. Once you gave up the... Can you imagine if they were about to give up this pick and they didn't even have Jamal Adams? Maybe there's people out there arguing it's even worse having him based on how he's played so far this year. But if he was out there doing, like, it just, look, if it was a bad trade, it was a bad trade. And maybe they compounded their mistake, but they didn't have a choice. They pot committed themselves once they gave up that much for him. You can't just let him walk. You'd given up 2 first-round picks. And if that, and if the second one ends up being a top 5 pick, I got to be honest, I don't know how John Schneider could possibly survive that. I don't know how he's going to survive the fact that this pick could end up being in the top 5 if it is. I mean, that's such a bad look. It's brutal. That is a brutal look. So I am rooting for that pick to be like number 15, right? I'm rooting for them to win as many games as possible, even if they don't win, you know, don't make the playoffs, which they're unlikely to do. Just salvage some dignity with that pick so that we're not sitting there watching it at the beginning of the draft on day one like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. Because the difference between a top 5 pick and a top 15 pick is night and day. It's night and day. That's not to say you can't get good players in the, you know, the 12 to 15 range. You can. But it's a big, big difference from a top 5 pick.
I haven't paid attention at all to this upcoming class of you. I know you're not a college football guy, no. So.
They're, you know, whatever. Nobody knows. It's not real.
It's all fake money.
Don't even worry about that stuff. No, I haven't. We can ask Brock. He'll probably have a better idea. But I just, the idea of giving up, of having that top, if you've already traded it and it's the number 5 pick. So that's a huge thing that I would say I'm rooting for, is to make sure they win enough games. But look, again, my answer doesn't matter that much. Neither does yours. Neither does anybody else's. Jody Allen's view of this thing is everything. And I don't know anything about her. I don't know anything about how Jody Allen plans to handle this. I don't know whether she wants to be invested, right? I don't know whether she wants to be involved. I don't know whether she believes in Pete. I don't know if she believes in John. I don't know if she believes in Russ. Some of them, some combination of them, none of them. Is she going to want to meet with them to get a sense as to like how things can work moving forward? Is she engaged in the process? Does she have relationships in the building and around? I don't know. I don't know any of that yet, and I don't know anybody who does. How important is it to her that this team wins? Right? Will she do what Paul Allen and Todd Leiwicki did when, after 1 year of Jim Mora, they said, we've got to go upgrade this thing. Let's go get great. And they went and got Pete Carroll. Took a big bet. Right? I mean, like, Jim Mora had his issues, clearly. Right? And things get going to the pit. I mean, like, Jim had his issues. Yeah. He's nuts in a good way sometimes. But like, the team wasn't that bad. He didn't do enough to get fired necessarily in 2009. But they'd made the decision that they had the opportunity to go get somebody great. So they let him go in order to get somebody great. And I 1,000% support that idea. I don't know, and I'm not saying that she's not, I don't know whether Jody Allen will want that. Is that important to her? Does she view things the same way? We don't know yet. She hasn't been forced to make any major decisions.
And who does she counsel with? Who's in that
circle?
Well,
that's another really good question. Who does she turn to seek advice? Who's on that list? Right? Will she go to Todd Leiwicki, who's obviously not working with the Seahawks anymore? He's working with the Kraken, and say, hey, Todd, what would you do here? You did it the last time. You helped me find Pete. What would you do now? I don't know. Does she have consultants? I think all of those things are fascinating because we don't really know, but it's hard for me to imagine that any of this moves forward this offseason without her really involving herself for the first time in the affairs of the team. That's what an owner has to do, right? They don't have to be involved day to day. In fact, there's a lot of evidence out there that suggests the owner should, for the most part, provide the money, set the culture, and then back away and let the president and the general manager and the coach build the culture inside the building that they want. Mm-hmm. Stay out of it. Don't meddle.
Yeah.
Right? Meddling owners can be challenging. But every once in a while, they have to act. So, like, you know, some of my history here is in watching Bob Kraft, who at the beginning was a meddling owner and ended
like
up running
Jones?
Bill Parcells out of town. Right? Bill Parcells takes the Patriots to the Super Bowl and then literally doesn't take the flight home with the team because he is out. And it's because of Kraft's meddling. By the way, you know who else would have a little issue with his meddling? Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll ended up losing the job as the Patriots coach because, even after the Parcells thing, Kraft was still meddling. And he had a GM in Bobby Greer that he was empowering over Pete Carroll. And so players, when they got mad at Pete, would just walk up the back door to Bobby Greer's office, and that got them to Bob Kraft. Well, guess what? Pete didn't have any real juice. The players stopped trusting him, stopped listening to him, stopped being, he wasn't able to hold them accountable, and it didn't work out for Pete. And then Kraft meddled one more time, and he brought in Bill Belichick, and he got the thing right, and he stayed the heck out of it for like the rest
Unmeddleable.
Of the time. Right? But like, he learned, my understanding is, through the Parcells and the Pete mistakes of like, hey, I got to get out of the way, but I got to hire the right person to be in the way.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And so that's sort of the spot Jody Allen is in. Like, you don't need to be here daily. No one needs Jody Allen to like be, you know, Jerry Jones as the de facto GM of the team.
No one needs Jerry Jones to be Jerry Jones.
Please.
Well, that's also true. No one needs Jerry Jones, period. Just stop the sentence right there. But there are moments, and I would say that right now is one of them, where there is a level of turmoil. There is some disarray. And at that point, it is up to the owner to set things straight, to figure out where they're going from here. Now, maybe Chuck Arnold is that person. He's the president.
Yeah.
I don't know what Chuck's level of involvement is with these situations. I mean, I just don't know. But I would think that this is the opportunity for Jody Allen, really, for the first time, to be the Seahawks owner, to step into that role and to have a position where she either calms everything down, gets Pete, Russ, John, etc., all on the same page moving forward with a clear view of where they want to go, or she makes the decision on who stays and who goes. And I don't know how she's going to decide that, because I don't think we know a lot about her.
I didn't realize think about the parallels between her, Jody, and Jen Cohen right now. The circles.
Big decisions to make.
Big decisions to make. Who's helping you with it?
Big decisions to make. The Jen Cohen one is a fascinating one. Now, Jen's made a couple decisions before, right? Obviously, she sought out this job, et cetera, and we kind of know where she's going. But you raise a really good question on like, hey, you know, how much should Chris Peterson be consulting on this? Why does Chris Peterson get to have such a big say? He walked away from the job. Chris, you didn't want the job. But you want a huge say in like who gets it? Well, it didn't work out very well the last time. That's his handpicked successor.
That was going to be my next point.
But on the other hand, does she need Chris Peterson in order to really provide some of the oomph, right? Some of the
recruit power?
Yeah, well, to recruit the coach.
Right, the recruit
who's
power
going to
coach.
Come in. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I've heard, certainly, that this is the world's greatest job. So any coach would want it, except for all the other jobs that are out there that are better. But like, other than the other jobs that are better, and there's at least three of them right now, this is the best job on the planet, right? I mean, other than the three. I mean, just take Florida and LSU and USC.
I've been told it's premier. I've been told it's top 25.
Take those ones out. Other than the three better jobs that are out there right now, it's the best job in college football.
See the text in the 253. It's like we're watching Ted Lasso right now.
Why? How so?
I don't know. I was hoping somebody else.
How
would
know
is
it that. Like that? I don't understand. I don't think it is like watching Ted Lasso right now. How about Jody Allen sells the team? The new owner gets to choose. Why? You don't know what Jody Allen's all about. I don't know what she's about. I'm not going to sit here and say she's a bad owner. Sell the team. Why? She hasn't done anything yet. This is her first opportunity. She hasn't needed to do anything until now. This thing's been on cruise control. Well, now it's not. Right? Now you got to hit the brakes. Now you got to, you know, hit cancel and figure out exactly how you're going to wind your way through these next turns, because you can't have your cruise control on as you go through the S-turns in the mountains. It just doesn't work that way. Hands on the wheel, Jody. Right? And none of us know what her view.
Jody, take the wheel. It's my favorite song.
I don't know that song.
The Jesus song? Jesus take the wheel.
Oh.
It's yes.
I don't know that song.
Sorry.
Either. What are you talking about?
You brought up Sarah McLachlan yesterday. I thought I was in a safe place.
Well,
to
what is
song.
That? What is like Jesus this. Take the wheel?
Jesus take the wheel?
I don't know that.
Carrie
is it
Underwood?
Kid Rock or not?
It's Carrie Underwood.
Oh, I don't really know any Carrie Underwood.
Oh.
But you know Sarah McLachlan well.
Yeah. I know one song by Sarah McLachlan. It's called Building a Mystery.
Jody take the wheel.
Okay. Well, it's...
I totally got you off on that one, and I'm so sorry.
That's twice today, Justin. You've like completely confounded me
with
something.
First the veggie tray, and then that.
Well, you've said a couple of things that don't really make sense. Ted Lasso is about a sports franchise that was taken over by a matriarchal figure after the patriarchal figure couldn't do it anymore. That's fair. That part is true. Yes. But I don't think there's any evidence that Jody Allen's like trying to tank the team the way the owner is in Ted Lasso. I mean, like, I think she's quiet. I know some of the reputation, and we've heard what we've heard. I don't know any of the truth to any of that. I don't know how much of it was about Paul and her need to step in front of some of that. Jody Allen is a complete mystery to me. Sarah McLachlan style, man. We're building another mystery here. Trust me.
Full circle.
I don't know who she, I don't know who she's going to be as an owner. But I do think that we are not only going to find out in the next couple of weeks to months, we need to find out in the next couple of weeks to months because it is her turn to step up into this vacuum. It's 7:15, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, where do we go from here? 3-7, playoffs nearly out of reach, uncharted waters for Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, etc. But with 7 games left, Pete's team still does have plenty to play for, and for me, that would start with making sure that Jets pick isn't as high as it looks to be right now, number 7 if the draft were to be held today. Pete repeatedly went back to execution yesterday as the cause of their issues, more than a lack of talent or schematic issues.
You know, we just need to get it executed, not get the ball tipped, and you know, and all that. So there's a little bit of everything that contributes. It would be really easy if it was just throw the ball better, or catch the ball better, or pass, you know, there's little things on these plays, and they're trying to make it hard on us, and we've got to come through and execute better.
Yeah, the little things do add up to big losses, and I do understand that, but I also think more talent would hide some of those flaws. Their defensive line hasn't done anything to affect play, to sack the quarterback, to force interceptions, and if you don't get that kind of play, the rest of it's kind of irrelevant. Pete mentions the challenges, again, getting Russell back into the offense that's built around him. Okay, I can respect it, but Arizona won with Colt McCoy. You should be able to win with your franchise, elite franchise quarterback coming back from injury. So the next 7 weeks will be fascinating, not just to see how they play out the string, but in how does the franchise decide to move forward? Most specifically, how does owner Jody Allen wish to proceed? This is the first time she's been called upon to pass judgment and or act, and honestly, I don't know what her style will be, but it is incredibly important to the future of the Seahawks franchise. No problem for the Bucs last night. They take care of the Giants on Monday Night Football, 30-10, your final there. Brady thrown for 300. The story, though, is in New York. Daniel Jones continuing to struggle. Who could have seen it coming? 167 yards and 2 picks. One about as bad as it could be. They could be looking to pick up a franchise quarterback, so we'll keep eyes on that.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, 2 interim football coaches here in the state of Washington. While interim Cougar coach Jake Dickert is auditioning for the full-time job, interim Huskies coach Bob Gregory apparently auditioning for open mic night. When asked yesterday if we could see Sam Heward get the start in the Apple Cup, here's his answer.
I could, but I have to kill you, so no. There's no... Not going to divulge no injuries, no quarterback updates, so... You guys are probably done, right?
Look, I like Top Gun as much as the next guy, but stop saying that, please. My dad even is embarrassed right now. The question, however, is a fair one, and I don't mind him not answering it. I don't think he owes anybody that answer. There could absolutely be some competitive advantage to the secret here. Personally, what would I do? Well, I'd start Sam Heward. It's a free gift. There's almost no downside to this. If he loses, so what? The difference between 5-7 and 4-8, negligible, and you don't have to burn his red shirt. If he wins... Well, maybe that provides the hope you need to try to lure some recruits here and maybe even the right coach to Montlake. So that's absolutely what I would do. The other storyline here, of course, is whether the Cougs can finally beat the Huskies in an Apple Cup, especially with the Pac-12 North title potentially on the line. They would need a win and some help from Oregon State in order to make that happen. You can hear the game, of course, Friday right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Hot stove season starting to kick in a little bit. A couple of pitchers made their decisions yesterday. Mariners will have to contend with lefty reliever Aaron Loop more often. He signed a deal to go to Anaheim. He's been one of the better lefties in the game here for the last few years. So if you're Jared Kelnick, start prepping now. Right-hander Anthony DeSclafani opted to stay put in San Francisco. He signs a 3-year deal. Actually, the Giants have been probably the most active, reportedly close to a deal with lefty Alex Wood, and they would like to keep Kevin Gausman as well, so they're trying to keep their pitching staff intact. Mariners apparently did have some interest in DeSclafani, nothing yet on their front. In the meantime, their players sure seem ready to build on what they started last year. Logan Gilbert on with Jake and Stacy yesterday.
Everybody's just so excited, honestly. I think we saw a glimpse of it last year, especially with where we finished and how we ended the season. And, you know, people are starting to notice that I think we have what it takes, and we're right on the edge of the playoffs, and I think it's only going to get better in the years to come.
Good stuff from Logan Gilbert. We'll talk to Ty France this morning coming up at 9 o'clock. Single-game tickets go on sale tomorrow for the Mariners. You can find that at mariners.com. Day off for the Kraken. They'll try to take some of that momentum from Sunday's big win, apply it at home against Carolina, end of that homestand. Big game for GM Ron Francis. He played for the Hurricanes and was the GM there as well. LeBron James suspended one game. Isaiah Stewart, two games for their altercation in Detroit on Sunday. Last night, the Suns beat the Spurs. Sixers over the Kings, who were playing their first game after firing coach Luke Walton. Pacers upset the Bulls, and the Celtics hammer the Rockets. That's everything you need to know, and we will do that quarter past every hour.
I asked this earlier, but I'm still kind of confused. You would start Sam Huard.
Yeah.
Apple Cup.
Yeah.
And what does that say to Dylan Morris?
Who cares?
I feel kind of bad about that. Yeah, like, you let him play all season. You just kind of, like, flirt here and there with Huard, and
he's not very good.
Yeah, I just feel like you owe it to him to let him start the game. He's started the three all season.
You're one of those
he's
guys.
He's had plenty of chances.
You are a Seattle sports fan, aren't you? You owe it to him.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, you just owe this guy another start. He's been terrible. Yeah, but he's been here. He's done some,
it's Apple Cup.
He's been really nice, and just, you know, why not give it to him? Yeah, I don't care about that stuff, man. That sentimentality, forget it. Like, at some point, you got to move on, man. Like, Dylan Morris has been not that good.
Sure.
He's had an incredibly disappointing season for this team, and it's time to move forward. I don't know if he'll be here next year. What if Sam Huard is a top quarterback prospect, one of the best in the country. You got to find out what you have, don't you? Now, if you don't think he's ready, fine. By all means, if you don't think he's ready, don't play him.
Well, is that what has been holding it up so long?
Well, I think it's his red shirt that's been holding it up, right? They don't want to burn the red shirt on him, and nor should they, right? If he's not ready to be your full-time starter and you're not better off doing that, then don't burn the red shirt. But it's now been a full season, right? He's a full season older. You got one game where you can play him the entirety of the game without affecting his red shirt status for next year. Why wouldn't you do it? Because of some loyalty to Dylan Morris? Sorry, man. Like, I like the idea of loyalty in general, but as a coach in sports, like, loyalty can only go so far. You have to be able to move forward. You have to be able to play the best players. You have to be able to do what's right for the program. You owe the entire program more than you owe just Dylan Morris.
Sure.
And so you have to look at your loyalty in general to the entire organization, in this case to the program, beyond just your loyalty to one single player. Loyalty's got value in life, man. It is one of the most important attributes in the world.
Just seems weird to set him up for, with, at this point, a different head coach, a different coordinator. It just doesn't seem like the best scenario to see the best.
Yeah, but in some ways, I think he's actually better off. I mean, you know, the offense, the spread offense that Junior Adams runs and is familiar with is much more similar to what Sam Huard does than what they were running earlier at the beginning of the year under John Donovan, which was not conducive to Sam Huard. Quite frankly, I don't even know why Sam decided to go here. I mean, like, they run an offense that is not him. The only reason I think he went here is he's from here and his brother and his uncle and his dad went there. Otherwise, I don't think Sam Huard chooses to go play in that offense, but he did. And now the coach is gone, the offensive coordinator is gone, and the guy who's left calling the shots right now offensively is much more his style. So why wouldn't you play him? Seems like a no-brainer. I'm going to ask Brock about it. I'm sure he won't really be able to answer it, but we'll talk to Brock coming up here in 20 minutes and see what his nephew's going to be up to on Friday. All right, coming up next, we've got L's to be given out, L's to be taken. I will, I'm sure, have to eat at least one, but we've got a few others, including all of us will probably have to eat a collective L. It's all next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
All right, it's L time. Time for us to take some losses. Who are we handing out L's to today, Justin? Where should we start?
I'm starting squarely with you.
What do you mean with me? What have I done?
This one, and before we get into the fun...
It better not be Rashad Penny. That guy ran for 18 yards, looked great, and unfortunately the sniper got him.
Okay, so we got two for you. More, I just throw him the L for that one right
quick
away.
L.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
like a lowercase
L.
Give me a lowercase L.
The Pete Carroll.
Thank you, Pete. Yes.
Whoops, that's not an L.
You'll always be a loser.
Okay, so yeah, Rashad Penny. I mean, come on. At what point are you willing to just say it?
Never.
Okay.
Never say die. Go down with the ship.
Captain goes down with the ship. Yeah. Number two, yesterday we were joking about the questions on, you know, that you ask your doctor that you don't want to hear the right answer to, or questions that you are asked you don't want to answer correctly.
Right.
When's the last time you checked your oil? You said.
Never.
And then what did you say? You were going to go get it changed.
Well, I tried to get it done over the weekend.
And?
And there was a 2-hour line.
So you said, no, it's not worth it.
Is anything worth that?
I don't know. I'm just asking if it's important to you. And you said, well, I don't care.
No, because I think it's fake. But I do it every once in a while just in case.
Definitely not.
I'm hedging my bet.
Definitely not fake.
I hedge my bet in case changing your oil's real.
So yesterday, you texted me, full conventional or synthetic?
Yeah, so I went to Jiffy Lube yesterday. And I was sitting there. There was one car in front of me in line. And I was like, oh, I got to have to make some sort of decision. And all it says on my car is like 5W30.
Sure.
Which is great. Thank you for telling me that.
Five
Otherwise,
weight,
I wouldn't have known
what
that is. I mean, I still don't know what it is. But at least I knew like that's what I needed.
Okay.
And so I text Justin because I figure he knows all this stuff. He believes in like flat earth theory
theory of preventative maintenance. Yeah, the well-known flat earth theory of preventative maintenance.
You probably change your filter too, whatever
Absolutely.
That is. Whatever garbage
Come on.
That is.
Okay, so anyway, the point is, we're not going to waste any more time with this. The point is, you send me the little picture of your, you know, the time you're supposed to change it.
Yeah.
And you were 4,000 miles over the mileage to change your oil.
That's right, and guess what happened? The person who was changing the oil was like, hey, everything looks great in there. Like, thanks, appreciate it.
Do not do this.
Fill it up and let's move it along here.
If you were more than 1,000 miles over your suggested and scheduled oil change,
Everything was fine.
Change
she literally
it.
Said everything is fine. Everything looks good under the hood.
This is like when you get older and have knee problems. That's what your car is going to be like.
But it's a lease.
Okay, moving on. Take an L. You deserve it.
L me. Again.
You bunch of losers!
Oh, jeez.
All right, what's next?
You want to give one to Baker Mayfield?
Of course, always.
Things are getting ugly for him. It's too bad. I like Baker Mayfield a lot. I've been rooting for him since day one in Cleveland. Before he even got drafted there, he was like, I want to go to Cleveland. I want to turn this thing around. I want to be the guy who is known for turning this thing around. Now he's getting booed and it's getting ugly.
Baker, what did you make of some of the booing there in the second half from the fans?
Those are probably the same fans that won't be quiet while we're on offense and trying to operate, so don't really care.
Oh.
Already then.
Don't really care.
I like that about him.
And then you have his wife. I thought she posted this to her Instagram story, but apparently she's saying it was a repost and she didn't look clearly enough at it. But
sure.
She posted something that said, no one better say anything bad about Baker Mayfield after this game. I don't think I've seen toughness like this in a while. Maybe the rest of our team should take the hint and get tougher.
Maybe they should.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
I'm taking Baker's side on this one. The rest of them stink. I'm pro Baker. Give everyone else an L.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
All right, maybe we should all take one together as the Seahawks and their collective fan base. They're getting flexed out of Sunday Night Football here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. The world doesn't want to watch Seahawks Niners 3-7 versus 5-5.
Might be a Bengals game, though. Might be a Chargers Bengals game.
There's no way they'll flex in the
Bengals.
That's
one of the options.
Herbert Burrow.
That's how far we've fallen.
That's one of
the options to replace us.
Yeah. Come on, say that's not true.
That's true.
Don't make me watch the Bengals on national TV.
Could be happening.
Their hideous uniforms.
Yeah, the Chargers were kind of interesting against the Steelers the other night.
The Chargers are interesting.
Yeah.
But don't make me watch them against the Bengals.
Herbert and Burrow.
Oh, gosh.
Could be fun.
Yeah, we deserve an L.
Loser! You're a loser!
That's my favorite one.
I know, it's really, really, really good one.
All right, well, you mentioned Justin Herbert, right? He's pretty fun. I guess he was asked about whether he lifts weights. It's quite the conversation.
You are lifting weights?
Correct. Does it not look like it?
It's hard to hear there, but, you know, he looks a little bit like a teenager still. And he's like, does it not look like
does
it?
Does it not
and then
look like I lift?
I think the hardest part for him to take was probably how hard the reporters laughed after he said, does it not look like it?
Yeah, he should know, though, that you don't have to take reporter laughs seriously. Reporters laughed at the Husky coach, Bob Gregory, saying that he'd tell you, but he'd have to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, reporters will laugh at anything. If a coach says anything that's not like a strict cliche, you're bound to get at least a chuckle courteous chuckle from the reporter. So don't worry about it, Justin. You'll be okay. Just take a quick L.
Okay.
The guy's a loser.
All right. Speaking of the Huskies, they lost to Colorado. Okay, fine. That's embarrassing. But they're not going to be bowl eligible this year. They were in the top 25 to start the year. Ryan Leaf probably deserves the biggest L. He had them picked to go to win the Pac-12 and go undefeated.
He even wore the shirt.
What? What was he doing?
A Husky shirt.
That's so weird, by the way. What a weird idea.
An awkward sellout.
I'm done with Ryan Leaf, and I shouldn't even like give him the publicity here, but like, really, man? This thing has gone way off the rails. They fired their offense coordinator, fired their coach, had a sideline incident, finished below 500, and they're going to end up not being bowl eligible. Are they going to beat the Cougs?
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah.
I think the Cougs are going to win this game.
No way. Huskies win. That's just the way this thing ends, man. That's just the way this thing ends.
I've watched a lot of these games. And obviously, I've seen the way it's gone.
Yeah.
But I remember being at Floyd's in Queen Anne and watching the Cougs win in 2014.
Yeah.
14, and thinking, this is rare. I'm going to enjoy this one because it was fun to watch the bar erupt.
It's time for it to happen again. I will tell you, Justin, you know what the mistake you've made? The mistake you've made is watching all the games and thinking it's going to influence the Apple Cup.
Yeah, that's fair.
The two things have nothing to do with each other.
Very different circumstances, you're right.
The Huskies are going to win this game and it has nothing to do with anything else that's happened this year. It's just that the Huskies will end up upsetting the Cougs in this moment. And by the way, Oregon State will beat Oregon, so it will have mattered.
Oh, yeah, of course. It'll be the insult.
Oregon State will find a way to beat Oregon, and then if the Huskies win... I mean, if the Cougs win, rather, in some like weird stroke of whatever, put it on the board right now that Oregon beats Oregon State.
We'll save this for Take the L next week.
Yes, that's fine. You can stick me with it. I'll take the L. Bring it on. Bring them on. Bring all the L's.
It's a bunch of losers.
Okay, there you go. That's all the L's we've got for today. We could probably throw one at Russ if we wanted. 51.5% completion percentage since returning. 2 picks, 0 touchdowns. Like, that's a L worthy right there. So there's plenty of L's to be handed out all over today.
I'm glad that somebody else agrees with me. I think the Cougs are getting their turnaround. I think it's happening.
Okay, yeah. No, sure. Go Cougs. I hope they do. I'll root for the Cougs. I like rooting for the Cougs. I like Jaden Delora, man. I think that guy's nice. Like, I think he's fun to watch. I like Max Borgi a lot. Dickert's done a heck of a job here over the last few weeks. Like, I'll root for them. And I think, like, for the Huskies, there's not really any reason there to cheer for it this year unless they play Sam Heward. And then I'm legally and morally bound to cheer for Sam Heward, right? Like, I'm, like, paying attention to what's going on in Montana Grizzlies women's basketball games. Like, I have a moral and maybe even legal obligation to cheer for the Hewards.
I watched Cat Grizz last weekend and thought of Brock. I don't have his number, so I couldn't text him, but I was just, thinking about him.
Yeah, Brock's not giving you his
number. No, there's no way.
No, there's no way you're getting Brock's number. Like, I hold that one very dear. I don't give it to anybody.
Should we ask him live next and see if he'll do it?
Give you his number? Yeah. Maybe he'll give it out over the air. Brock forgets sometimes, and sometimes he'll just give out his number, and then anybody can text
Worth
Brock if they want. That stuff's, by the way, not quite as sacrosanct as it used to be. Now that you can just access anybody on Twitter, like, it's really not that different from having their number. So, like, you don't even really need Brock's number. You can just tweet at him. Isn't that good enough? Or do you need to privately have conversations with Brock?
I'll tweet him.
All right. Brock Heward will join us next. We'll ask him what he thinks about Sam Heward, about Pete's identity, about some of the execution. We got a lot to talk about with Brock Heward. We'll do it next.
Brock and Salk.
Brock Heward is my hero.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30.
Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
On the Mike Salk Show.
What Brock Heward says? No, he's not a friend.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Good morning, Brock.
Well, good morning, Michael.
Where are you going this weekend? Do you know yet? Is it Oregon State?
No, they lost. Oh. Thanks, Oregon.
Oh, you needed Oregon to win that one?
Yeah, could have had the Civil War, third-ranked team in the country. I'm sorry, I can't say that. It's not called that. Oregon, Oregon State, third-ranked team in the country, playing for a playoff spot. I've looked at their ratings. They're super relevant because everybody in the Midwest was watching them, hoping they would lose. Their doors.
So what do you got?
So I have Colorado at Utah Friday. And then we hop on a plane, hopefully no delays, out to the Bay Area and have Notre Dame at Stanford Saturday night.
That should be a barn burner.
Yeah, well, one's a 24-point game and one's a 17-point game. And watching the tape, those feel about right. But it is Notre Dame, and they are – They need a few things to happen, but yeah, they're a legitimate playoff contender.
Talk to Brian Kelly about his time at BC and Georgia Tech. I mean, like, there seems like a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, I chat with him tomorrow. I will certainly let him know. My friend Michael Salk, who has an award-winning morning show in Seattle, wants to really know about your career arc and tell me about
Boston
College.
Me about your time at BC.
Tell me on Chestnut Hill how that go.
Would you start Sam Heward on Friday?
Would I start him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably would.
Me too.
I probably would.
Why wouldn't you? What's the downside? I mean, like, there's no risk there, is there?
No. Unless he's just bad. And he's not going to, you know, I mean, risk a red shirt and all of that. So, and if not start, I would play him substantially. And it'd just be a matter of, you know, just the kind of the dynamics of everything, handling everything, protections and calls and checks and all that stuff. And obviously there's been some turmoil and a new play caller with the firing of John Donovan and all that stuff. But I would. And in fact, I remember years and years and years ago, long before, I mean, Mora was even born, I believe, a guy named Ryan Leaf started an Apple Cup. And Damon was a redshirt senior. And Ryan, I don't think he started that season or for much of that season, but he started that game and played pretty terrifically. And made it a very competitive game. And yeah, I don't think Sam would duck from that opportunity at all. And at this point, if not start, he's got to play a significant amount of football.
Whatever it is, just please dispense with the, like, bring him in for a series now and again thing. That, I think that does a disservice to everybody. It's bad for him. It's bad for the other kid. It's just bad.
Agreed. That doesn't help anybody. You know, Dylan is looking over his shoulder, and then you're like, wow, you know, I've got to do something, and maybe you press a little bit, and you make a throw you normally wouldn't make, or you just check it down, or you play conservatively.
Sam's a volume passer, right? Like, he needs to get in rhythm and all of that. It doesn't make any sense.
No. Nope, and this is a pretty good crew, and amazingly enough, man, the Pac-12 with Oregon's loss, you know how that now works, right? All three of those teams could go to the Pac-12 title game. So if Washington State beats Washington and Oregon State beats Oregon, and those two things are not outside the realm of possibility, it'll be Coach Dickert's Cougs playing the Utes in
Las Vegas.
Yeah,
I mean, we all
know
that's not going to happen. Obviously, if that's the case, the Huskies will win just to torture the Cougs. Probably. It has nothing to do with anything like how they've done this year. Yes. But I like this Jaden Delora kid. I think he's nice. He's fun to watch.
He's got some game to him.
He does.
He's got some flair.
He's got some moxie, too.
Two really good slot receivers. It'll be interesting to see, like, if I'm, again, the University of Washington, and we could talk about, you know, this a ton and the scheme with the Seahawks and the scheme with the Huskies, and there's some similarities that they both, you know, just keep everything in front of them and don't give up big plays. And I listened to Pete with you yesterday. They've been a zone team. That's their DNA. That's their identity defensively.
Yes, what'd you make of all that? Tell me a little bit of what you make.
Let me just say this. If I'm the Huskies, I put my two corners on their two best slot receivers and just play man all game and let anybody else beat you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else on that roster beat you. And if Max Borgie runs wild, he runs wild. But even with that, it doesn't even take away your run responsibilities. Just put your two best players on their two best receivers. When it comes to Pete, what I make of that? I mean, he's true. He's right. They have been a single high zone team. That has been his philosophy of limit the big play. But we know what the challenge with that is, Mike. When that was the philosophy for the first 5 years of the Legion of Boom, guess what they were? They were a zone team. Guess what they could still do? Take the ball away. Make game-changing, dynamic plays within that zone. What are you getting? What are you doing? Are you taking the ball away from anybody? Are you creating many tackles for losses or sacks?
It has anything to do with your defense on the back end. I think it has to do with this tweet I got today from my guy Travis Fultonbrock. This is the tweet. Sacks. Benson Mayowa, 1. Carlos Dunlap, 0.5. Kerry Hyder, 0.5. LJ Collier, healthy scratch. Why aren't you turning the ball over? Hasselbeck came on this show last week and said he watches the interception reel across the NFL. 77% of picks come off of pressure.
Yes.
You don't force any pressure. It has nothing to do with your safeties or your scheme. The guys up front stink.
Yeah, let me give you another stat. Did you see the number with Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks?
I did see them. It was like all of
them. So out of those snaps, and this is Colt McCoy now. Okay, this isn't Tom Brady. This is Colt McCoy, who for 2 years you let come into your building and do what? Get in rhythm. What did you just say about Sam?
I mean, he threw for 100 yards last year. Let's not get carried away.
What did you say about he's a volume passer? What do you want to do to volume passers? You want to hit them early. You want to disrupt them. You want to take away their first option or second option. Make them at least get to, you know, the third options or check downs or whatever. So how many of those, whatever it was, 18 of 20? against Bobby and Jordan. How many of those were just, yep, here we go, dink, dunk. I'll take that, and I'll take that. Oh, and thank you for that. And I'll take the green bean casserole. Oh, and pass the gravy and the mashed potatoes. And I'll even take the cranberries. And I'll just take whatever I want from you because they're wide open all the time. So pass rushers can easily also say to you, Mike, hey, listen, I get it, man. We need to get after the quarterback. But when the first option is open and the ball is out in less than 2 seconds, mm-hmm. have your boy Fulton there send you a tweet. Have him go back and study how many and how long Colt McCoy held the ball in that game. The only time he had to hold it, he did get sacked, right? Monet did get home. They did get after him. Most of the time, that ball's out in less than 2 seconds, and it's completion after completion after completion because you play soft zones, and your linebackers aren't sticky, and they don't pattern read, and they don't have a feel. So it all blends together like good gravy.
Brock, what does Jody Allen think?
I don't know. Talk to her. Have you chatted with her?
No. You know, she doesn't return my calls. She is the great mystery of this whole thing because it's time. Right, it's time for her to probably involve herself in the Seahawks for the first time. Right, this is the moment.
I think beyond her, what is Chuck Arnold? Does he have any say? What is Bert Cole? Does he have any say? Right, are they in meetings with Jody? You know, is there an outside? You know, Paul always brought people from the outside in, right, as consultants and helped evaluate and hold people under that roof accountable. Right, I mean that was Paul's MO. Is she doing that? Have they brought outside folks in? Are they working with consultants? Are they working with people that really know their stuff to evaluate the situation and say, you know, what's going on here?
But yeah, besides, I think they're going to bring in Chris Peterson to check it out.
Besides, what does she think? Has she taken those steps? Is that front office taking those steps?
We don't know. I mean, it's very secretive right now.
Yes,
but
it is.
But over these next 7 games, I was asking Justin Moore earlier what they're looking for. I don't think it matters what any of us are looking for. It matters what Jody Allen is looking at, and you just said Chuck Arnold, Bert Kolb, et cetera. Yes. What is the group upstairs or outside the building think about what's going on here, and what will they do? I mean, what allegiances do they have? Who do they have trust in, et cetera?
I'm looking for Pete to actually have answers instead of game after game after game getting to that press conference and not knowing why. I'd like him to definitively have answers. Say, we're not good enough. Yeah, we're not talented enough, and we're putting people in position to
say that. Even if he believes it, he's not going to say that.
To do things they can't do. I'm not talking about killing guys.
He's not going to say that. He's not going to say we're not talented enough. That's killing John Schneider, and the day he says that is the day everyone says this thing is over. Pete is not going to say that. Give that up. Give up the ghost right now. He will not kill John Schneider. He will not kill Russell Wilson. If there is any sort of a battle between the three of them for which one ends up staying, going, etc., there is no way Pete Carroll will sell those guys out.
Okay.
It's not who he is.
Yep.
Oh,
and he's never been in this. Oh, he's never been in this situation.
Ah,
Mike.
Come on.
I know that's not who he is. He's also never been 3-7.
Nah, I don't care.
Okay.
We'll
see as it moves forward right. Where that level of accountability falls with each of those, with the players that have a sense of it, with the front office that has a sense of it, and certainly with Pete that has a sense of it. Or do you start to see finger pointing? And maybe that's fair. Maybe that is the thing over the next 7 weeks more than anything. If you want this whole triumvirate to stick together, right, and move forward because you love the everything that's been good and the fruit that's been born out of that stability, then here's what you don't want to hear over the next 7 weeks, finger pointing in any of what
I was saying earlier. It actually might be great if there's going to be a divorce. Maybe we want them to fight a little bit first so that we're like ready for it. Like, okay, these guys all hate each other. We hate them. Let's move it all along, and we can just sort of reflect back on the past. So
that has not been their MO. They've handled adversity very well, but they're at a place they have never ever been before.
All right, hey, big road trip for me later today, Brock. We'll be ranking the best items that you want to pick up for your road trip when you stop at the gas station. So I know you've got thoughts on that.
I do.
Where are you on corn nuts? Pretty high, right?
Pretty high on corn nuts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Become a pretty big cashew guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pretty big cashew guy.
Kind of a fatty nut, I would say, right?
Mm, not quite as fatty as the macadamia.
It's more of a legume, but yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
See you, buddy. We'll talk
about
it. Happy Thanksgiving. There you go. There's Brock Heward every day at 7:45. We're going to talk to G. Scott. If there's one person I guarantee will be opinionated on what you eat on Thanksgiving, it's G. Scott. He's next.